For this morning we will read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we will just read the first 20 verses. Chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far the reading of God's word.
It's my privilege today to bring you that glad tiding again. The glad tiding of the birth of Jesus. Don't ask me how they get to the estimate, but some scientists believe, biblical scientists, that there might have been 100 billion people who lived on the earth till today. Right or wrong, I don't know. But if there are 100 billion people on this earth ever since God began His creation, there is none like the one that I may speak about today. That precious baby Jesus. Children, it's today's birthday. Not His real birthday. We have no clue when Jesus was born. It might have been in September, in the fall season. But certainly not on this day, December 25. That's a random day that has no real historical meaning. But still nice to have a birthday commemoration. And today we have a birthday to celebrate. Jesus' birthday. Now, children, where was He born? Your mom and dad told you that this morning already. He didn't have a very pretty crib. The whole world has heard about that Kate is pregnant. But not the whole world heard about that Mary was pregnant. And the whole world is going to watch when Kate is going to get a baby. You know, Kate, that's the princess of Britain, in case you didn't know. And the whole world is going to pay attention to that baby. That's only a baby like all of ours. This baby, children, this baby Jesus, is coming to your life also. He's already spoken to you, children. He's already talked a lot to you. This baby obviously is no more baby today. He's now the Lord of heaven and earth. He's even given you something very special. Now, I know many of you are looking outside. That's one reason why these doors should be closed, because the kids are not looking at me. Here we go. Jesus has done a lot in your life already, children. This baby Jesus has already spoken to you. He's laid his hand on you when you were a little baby too. And he's told you something. He says, I am the Lord your God. That's special. Now this morning I may speak about this baby Jesus. And it's not a new story to most of us here, I think. But I hope it may become new again. I'm going to invite you today to come with me and to adore Jesus. That's the whole purpose of being here today. To come and to adore in worship Jesus. It's all about Him. There's two thoughts I want to lift out of the portion that we read this morning. And the first one is, this is a magnificent event that I may speak about, the birth of Jesus. There's no event in all the world ever like His. In some way, more special than what we see on Golgotha. More mysterious. Of course, they're connected. They're never disconnected. It's all one story. But what we see here in Luke 7, 2, verse 7, and that's our text this morning. Let me read it with you. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those are kind of strips of clothing wrapped around his legs and arms and body. Just like every other mother always did in the Bible time. And she laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Those of you who have heard me speak on this text before. Remember, the inn is the upper room. It's the guest room in the house. That was already full, no doubt, with guests that had come from far and near to come to Bethlehem on this special time. And so Mary couldn't go in the guest room. She was just in the living room, where everybody lived. How about a manger then, Pastor? There's a manger there. It must be a stable. Every living room had a manger. A little hollowed out space in the living room floor, which separated the living room floor part and the little, we would say, the basement part of the house, where at night the animals would be stored or stalled, rather. That's where Jesus was born, the King. No red carpet for him. No, nothing like that. Just a simple birth of Jesus. You know, when we read Luke's story, children, you probably wish I preached like Luke writes. Because I think you can understand every word of the story that was read this morning. It's all simple, right? I should keep that in mind this morning. But it is such a simple story. I cannot imagine when Kate is going to have a baby this year or next year. Never going to have such a little, you know, few words like that in the paper. Going to have stories and pictures, who knows how long. But here is the birth of Jesus. So simply recorded for us. And yet, friends, there is no more magnificent event ever witnessed in the world. Think how big the sun is. Our earth fits a million times in the sun. That's not even a big star, according to the scientists. But that's big to me. A million earths fit in the sun. Now, if God would have taken the sun and downsize it into a marvel. You say, wow, that's spectacular if God will do that. It is. It is big. That is spectacular. But it is nothing compared to what I read here. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Who is that son? Who is this little baby in Bethlehem that is born there in the middle of the night, perhaps? It's not a romantic, sweet scene. It is a mind-boggling mystery. Yeah, what does that mean, mind-boggling, kids? That means I don't understand it. It's just beyond me to explain it. But who is this baby? It's your Creator. This little baby is your Creator. All of you. This is the God, this is the Creator who from all eternity has made this vast universe out of nothing. It's a big place. And He made it out of nothing. And here lays your Creator. This baby is your Maker. Think of it for a moment. There He lies in a little manger. He existed long before the world began. He has no beginning. And here He is on the earth. This is invisible God making Himself visible to us. Who is this little baby? It's your God. It's your God laying here in a manger. Strange as that may sound, how can this God be in a manger? We just sang from Psalter 306. That God needs to humble Himself to look on the universe. You think how big it is. He has to humble Himself to look. And yet here I read, and she brought forth her firstborn son. And Gabriel had said, and he who is going to be born of you is going to be the Son of God. It's God Himself. Here lies our Creator God who humbled Himself. Baby Jesus is God putting up a human tent to live in it. Maybe you can picture it that way, children. It is kind of hard to explain. But baby Jesus is God putting up a human tent and He lives inside of it. Not a palace, not a strong, healthy, strong man like Adam used to be in paradise. No, a man like you and me who tires, who ages, who is weak, and who may have all kinds of things with him that we don't know. But this child is not only your Creator, not only your God. Here comes the third. This child is everyone's King. Here in this building. No. Here in this world. He is your King, my friend. Your King is laying here in the manger. Why there? Why not on a throne? Why not at least in a palace? Your King who owns all heaven and all earth and has the right to command every one of us here. He took it upon Himself to come from the throne, as it were, to take upon Himself the form of a servant. And the Greek word there actually is the form of a slave. Slave. I stand in awe. This is our King servant. This is your Creator, your God, your King. One more. This little baby is your Savior. He came in this world to His own in order to save them. He has not come into this world to have vacation, to do sightseeing. He's not come into this world even to improve it at the stage where he was at that time. He came not to destroy it either. You think of that. Children, if you are disobeying to mom and dad, that's to say you're going to be so terribly disrespectful that you spit in their face. Don't ever do that. But let's say you did that. And you hear the stamping feet of your father and your mother coming to you. And you think, oh, I'm going to get it. And rightfully so, you would. Not this king. He came not with stamping feet into this earth. Stand in awe, my friend. This king came quietly and softly and tenderly to seek your salvation. Come and adore him. Don't sit today and stand far away. Come and adore. Here is your Savior who came to serve and to wash and to renew a desolate world of sinners. Sadly, many, most, all, if God doesn't prevent it, all would reject this baby. That's unbelievable. I cannot imagine that if you get a gift today, if you are getting a gift today, and your mom and dad bring this big old gift to you, and I don't favor that at all, but let's say you do that on a day like this. And you take that big gift and you just stamp it and throw it away without even unwrapping it. You'll be a horrible person to do that. Let's stand for a moment back. And let's think for a moment what you do and have done with this little baby. With this grown up Jesus. I'm praying that the Spirit will send an arrow today to convict you of the horribleness of that sin. That's not a way to receive Him. And so, children, this morning we look at Jesus coming to this earth. He came as a little child like you are today. He said, why didn't He come like a bright angel? And why didn't He come with great power? Like, you know, kings and big men usually come. Why didn't Jesus come like that? Well, that's a good question. That is because Jesus came here for a different purpose than what we think usually great men are for. This all took place because God has a plan to redeem a large part of His created rebel creatures. He's been thinking about it from all eternity already. If you go back to chapter 2, it begins with these words, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, who is Caesar Augustus? That's a big king. He's an emperor. And he thought he controlled the world. But he's wrong. It is someone else who controls this world of Caesar Augustus. And without him knowing it, he's only a little pawn on the chessboard of God. Because God is going to bring forth his king on the chessboard. And he's going to use his little pawn, Caesar Augustus, and says, you little pawn, you write out that law for me. Because I want Mary to go to Bethlehem. That's why. It's the only reason that Caesar Augustus is writing out this big decree or this big rule to have the whole world registered. God has a plan. And his plan never goes according to our thoughts. I can imagine that Mary and Joseph would have had some discussions together about, isn't that Messiah to be born in Bethlehem, Joseph? Isn't that what our teachers always have told us? Isn't that what Micah prophesied? Wasn't he going to be born in Bethlehem? And here we're living in Nazareth. Shall we go to Nazareth? Now, that's, of course, not something you do so easily, especially when you're poor and you have your livelihood in Nazareth. That's where Joseph worked. If you understand the puzzle of these two, let it be according to thy word. But there's a tremendous puzzle going on in the life. So it is still today. Maybe you sit here also puzzled. Maybe you had a word of God in your heart and you thought so much hope and so much sweetness, and yet it goes completely the opposite way of what you think. That's always how God does it. But let us today be assured that God is in control of all the circumstances. And look, here all of a sudden, God brings to pass what Micah had prophesied. And Joseph goes out of Nazareth and takes his wife to Bethlehem. Those are his thoughts coming to birth. It is his thoughts worked out. And the plan of God's redemption congregation included that God needed to become one of those who he was going to save. That's Christmas. That isn't stupendous stoop. That is such an unbelievable mystery. That God was willing to be born, to be wrapped up in the swaddling clothes, that here this little baby Jesus is God himself. Come. That was my first thought. A magnificent event. Give you a moment to lift up your mind and your heart to God. Just for a moment. Say it in your own heart what you think about him, while I look at my notes. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, who dwells in the heavens of heavens, is willing to come down to this earth? I'm looking for a volunteer. I'm not serious, but I'm asking you. A volunteer. Will you be willing to leave this beautiful New Zealand and go to Haiti, the poorest country in the world today? I think is Haiti. And your task there is to work the rest of your life in the slum. No air conditioning. No the barbecues, no barbecues. Just work in the slums. Help those people. And I'll tell you the whole story. After you've done that all your life, sorry, but they're going to kill you at the end. How many volunteer? Let's take a moment again to lift up our thoughts up to God tomorrow. That's what he did, Jesus. second thought this morning, friends, is the immeasurable love of God to which you are invited to come and see. Now again, as we read our text this morning, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the story of love. The whole of the Bible is about love. No matter how distorted our thoughts are about God, and how often distorted also the impression is that we have from the Bible's message, it's about love. Deep, unexplainable love. Yeah, here we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross. And the first step towards the cross was Jesus leaving as the Son of God, heaven, to dwell in a human body and to be born in this manger, or to be laid in this manger. And what a touching detail they are. No room for him in the inn. The upper room, no more room. No special kingly garments, just the ordinary swaddling clothes. No special, super special crib, but a manger. And this is a mind-boggling story of love. Read this love of God this morning. It's also simple and so poor, this context, but yet it's also so godly. There is so much godliness in this scene in verse 7. God manifests in the flesh. God making himself known in his love in a human coming to this earth. You know, this godliness that Paul speaks about is the immeasurable love that God goes to such a length to love people that are unlovable people. Unlovable. If you have any insight on who you are on the inside, if the Holy Spirit has given you any light about what lives within, then you know you are not what you look like on the outside. Then you know within us is a world of selfishness, a world of impurity, a world of disobedience. All that lives within us. And yet, God so loved the world of such sinners that he gave his only begotten Son. That's godliness. That's not godliness. Godliness is to love like God. And that's impossible for us. But that's what God did. That's how he changes people. When we begin to see this love that God shows in himself to such an unworthy people. And it's not only that God so loved that he gave up his only begotten Son. No, that he also spared not his Son the shame and the dishonor and the sufferings and the rejections. Who of us would like his child to go through this, what Jesus went through? Who of us would deny our child's cry, Father, give me not this cup, it's too heavy for me. And the Father did not take that cup away. Who can measure this love of God to bring forth his firstborn Son into this world? Real love forgets itself. Real love is an action in which we sacrifice ourselves. Real love doesn't ask, what does it cost? But real love, what can I do? What can I do? And God says, oh, what I can do is I can give my Son and withhold him not. And dear God, friends, we're in the face here this morning. with a scene that is so godlike. God knew that all men love darkness rather than light. God knew that. God knew that we loved ourselves and sin and our own sin, sinful darkness, more than the light He brings into the world. He knew that. God knew that when He would come to His own and He sent His own Son, they would not receive Him. He knew that. And still, she brought forth the firstborn son. God knew there was no room in the heart of man for His love. He knew they would take His son and kill him. For loving them and telling them the truth. And He knew that when He draws near to man's soul, and He would trumpet forth in their ear mercy and pardon, He knew they would shoot the arrows off the wall to kill them. Such messengers. We don't want such messengers. That's man. Contrasted now against God. See the immense contrast. Come and see. Come and worship. Come and adore the love of God. It's immeasurable. You know, the angels burst forth in singing as they witness this, and when they are summoned to be the choir to accompany the birth of Christ, and they sing, all right. They sing of Him, having seen Him in the heavenly glory, having worshipped Him in the heavenly glory. They here are seeing Him laying there, clothed with the rags of an fallen humanity, and they worship. And it's lovely to think about the worship of the angels, but we're not here for that. We're here that you would join them, that you would join the choirs of heaven. No, we're here that we may outsing them. Outsing them. Because He didn't come to redeem angels. He came to redeem sinful men. And that's why men ought to sing louder than the angels about the glory of God and the peace on earth and the goodwill toward men. And listen to the message that they bring at the end, the angels. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's a message of hope, congregation. There is a Savior born. There is a Messiah come. There is hope in the darkness of this world. And there is so much darkness out there. And so much darkness in here. And so much darkness perhaps among us here. And who will make a difference? Good men don't make a difference. Good efforts don't make a difference. Good words don't make a difference. It is Jesus only who will make the difference when He comes in your life in a personal way. Lifts you out of the darkness, unbelief, pain, guilt, fear, and sets your feet upon the rock of His salvation. It's a message of peace. We hear it in the text this morning. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Notice that verse. It is so general. You may take it. It's a message of goodwill to you, men. It's not for animals. It's not for angels. It's for men, boys and girls, men and women living in this world. Come and adore the love of Christ. Come and adore this God who calls and summons us this morning to worship Him. A moment to lift your thoughts up this morning. Take a moment to make this a little heaven where worship is brought in the thoughts and hearts to Him who came to this earth. And we need the Spirit for that. To lift us up. We need His love of God poured in our hearts to make us willing in the day of His power. And He does. Isn't that a wonder? He stopped that night by the shepherds. We know nothing about the shepherds except that they were shepherds in the dark. But there came a message of God, and there came of that message of God so much power, congregation, that we read that after the angels had gone, they went, let us know, go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They don't say, let's go check it out if it's true. Let's go see it. What we have heard, that there is a Savior born for us. And that He has come to this earth as the promised Messiah. Has Christ made that room in your heart? Has His message now ever touched you so that you have gone home no more forgetting, but going to worship Him for what He's made known to you? Not to check it out more, no, to acknowledge it in your own heart and prayers. Come. The tidings this morning are a cause of great joy. Don't say, they're only tidings for the shepherds. They're not for me. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to your own reasoning. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You can make all kinds of constructions about that, all people, but I believe in simple language. All people means all people. Simple. This is a tiding I may bring to you this morning that is applicable to all people. There is a Savior who can lift you out of the darkness of your fallen state and bring you into the communion with God. One name, given under heaven, among men, in your ears this morning. Go and adore. And if you can't go and adore, go and pray. Show Him to me, Lord. Show me the glory Thou showed unto the shepherds. Come, congregation. Don't go home today and don't leave this day without having bowed your knees also before this King, this Shepherd King, who seeketh sinners. And do not exclude yourself with an unbelieving attitude. Continue to slouch to the darkness of a Christ. Less life. There is no life. There's no joy in that life. There's a momentary bubble. And another bubble. And another bubble. And it's over. But these shepherds that came to Jesus that night, they're out singing the angels today. God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful God, oh, what an incredible message again we have been confronted with today. It is so great love that Thou showed to men. And, O God, bring that now farther than our ears today. But I'll bring that in our hearts with power. That all the fears and doubts and unbelief, but also all the hardness and indifference and coldness may be wiped away. Thou make room for Thyself in a world that wasn't having any room. Thou makest room in the hearts of people who have no room for Thee. And so do today we plead with Thee at Thy very throne of grace this morning for Thy healing mercies. O God, visit us with Thy salvation. And so guide us in this day in everything that we may do also with our families. Lord, our gift that we may keep also this day as a memorial day for Thee and of Thy great gifts. Protect and uphold and lead us all by Thy Spirit. O God, we ask it undeserved in Jesus' name. Amen.